It's fun being up here knowing something you don't know. That's what I like about open worship. I'm up here laughing as Don is singing and Ann is preaching, and I'm like, thanks, God, filled in my gaps. God has his hand today, and it's very obvious to me. You might not see it yet, but I think that you will. John 15, starting with verse 1. And we're going to read all the way through verse 17 this time. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. This is Jesus speaking. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And what Ann was talking about was that God lifts us up. Last week, if you weren't here, we talked about the mistranslation of the Greek word eros has gone from the King James version of take away to the NIV version of cut off, when the original version, the Greek word actually means to lift up. And so it's not true to say that God cuts off the branches in Christ. No, he lifts us up. And start again in verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Now, who can remember 2 weeks ago what we talked about? 2 whole weeks. Last time we did this, someone complained. Said, oh man, how am I supposed to do that? We're supposed to learn, that's how. 2 weeks ago. All right, what passage did we read out of 2 weeks ago? What passage did we read out of? It's this one. That's right. So 2 weeks ago, what did we focus on? The vine and the branches. Christ is the vine, we are the branches. And so, man, review is hard with you guys when we get past a week. Next week, we're going to see if you can remember 3 weeks ago. So the vine and the branches, and we read out of this passage, John 15. And what was the main point that we talked about? Christ is the vine, we are the branches. What's important? That we plug into the vine to be fed. That's right, that we have to be attached to the vine to grow and to bear fruit. Jesus says that if you don't remain in him, no branch can bear fruit by itself. You must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That was verse 4. And then last week, we talked about, well, first off, last week, what passage did we read? The same passage, John 15, and we focused on verses 1 and 2. And who did we read about last week? Pruning. All right, who prunes? The vine dresser. Thank you, Rick. We talked about the vine dresser. So we've got Jesus is the vine, we're the branches growing out of him, and God is the vine dresser who tends to the vineyard or the gardener. The garden, in my Bible, it says the gardener. What's the main point about God as the vine dresser? Somebody already said it. Ann, you already said it. He prunes. Why? More fruitful. That's right. God prunes us so that we can have more fruit. So the first part, Jesus, we have to plug into the vine and able to bear fruit, produce. Thank you, Bob. We have to plug into the vine to be able to produce fruit. And then the vine dresser prunes us so that we can bear more fruit, better fruit, flourish even more. All right, we got it. We're having a problem with this lesson, are you? Because it's We're going to go back into open worship now. No, there's more to it, Bob. This is a little bit review. Okay. Thanks a lot, Bob. All right, so we talked about the vine dresser. Now, last week I said that this week we were going to talk about the fruit part of the deal, right? Why we need to bear fruit. What's important about it? And here in verse 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." So let's talk about fruit. Let's talk about an apple tree, because apple trees are very common. Grapevines are not as common. I had somebody come up to me last week and say, "We had a grapevine, but I don't know anything about it." And I had someone else come up to me and say, "Hey, I know how to, I went to school and I learned all about grapevines, so I can tend a grapevine. I just don't have one." And so I thought, okay, well, let's move on to apple trees today. Has anybody ever seen an apple tree? Has anybody ever had an apple picked from an apple tree? All right, apples are very common. What is the apple part of the tree called? The fruit. What's important about the apple on the tree? What's important about the fruit? Tastes good. It's appealing. It's healthy. Nourishment. What does the fruit show you about the tree? That the tree is alive and healthy. A tree that cannot produce fruit means that the tree can barely keep itself and its branches and its leaves on. So it's appealing, tastes good, it's healthy, shows us that the tree is alive. And I heard one more out there. What's important about the apple? The seeds. Thank you, Isaac. The apple holds the future of the species of the tree. If all apple trees stopped producing apples, we would have no more apple trees as soon as that species died out. So fruit is very important. And I think that's such a neat way to look at it, because I love apples. If I see somebody's apple tree that looks really beautiful, what do I want to do? I want to go take one and take a bite of it, because it's good and it's appealing and it's tasty. If you like apples, I do. And so I might say, "Wow, I really like that tree. I want one." What do you have to do to get your own apple tree? Say, "Hey, look over there. Take an apple, stick it in your pocket, go home and plant the apple." Or ask for an apple. You take the apple and you take the seed from the apple and you plant it and you can have your own tree. So fruit is very important. So what about us? What about us and fruit? Let's look in Galatians. I believe God already spoke once about this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. These are the fruits that we are to produce. These are the fruits that Jesus is talking about, the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Look at these fruits. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. What happens when we bear these fruits? You think anybody would be attracted to that? Now, I was saved when I was 14 years old. That was 14 years ago. If you do the math, I'm 28 years old. For 14 years, I've been trying so hard to produce the stinking fruits of the Spirit. I've been trying for 14 years. I've been trying to work on love. I've been trying to work on peace. I've been trying to work on patience, and it's hard. I'm trying to be gentle, honey. I'm trying. 14 years I'm working on these fruits, and you know what God finally revealed to me? Nathan, you don't live your life in according with the fruits of the Spirit. You don't live your lives by the fruits, because Paul says that the fruits are not of the law. And we know that we can't live by the law. We just can't do it. We're humans. So I'm trying to work on all these things, and you know what God said? Nathan, You can't do it. You cannot live your life according to the fruits of the Spirit. You have to live your life in the vine, in Jesus Christ. And the fruits of the Spirit are a result of your life in Christ. For years, I was polishing up this fruit. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're gonna bear something. You're going to produce something. And for years, I was making these shriveled up, moldy apples. And you know what I was doing? I was working on them every day, and I was shining them up. Get my polishing cloth off. Chandra and I were talking about this last night. Sometimes we put paint on things to try to cover them up. So I'm painting, I'm polishing, I'm painting. Chandra's like, you know, that was just a clear coat. I saw right through it. I'm like, well, thanks. I'm painting, I'm polishing up, and somebody comes, and because I'm working on this, somebody comes over to me, and I was like, hey, you want some fruit? Well, yeah, I like fruit. Well, here, check this out. You want some of this? This is peace. This is my fruit of the Spirit. This is my peace. Do you want some peace? And they're looking at it, and they're like, I don't think I want any of that. And sometimes we get in a place where if you've been in a spot a long time where people aren't bearing fruits, all of our fruits look alike. And so you don't know the difference between a good apple. If you've never seen, if you've only seen moldy, rotten apples, and you've never seen a good one, you don't know the difference. And so we offer each other our fruits, and we take a bite, and when they're not looking, spit them back out because we know that's what they're doing to us because our fruits just don't taste good. Would you plant an apple tree in your yard if the fruit was smelly and nasty and rotten coming off the tree? I know I wouldn't. And so I was taking these fruits that I was working hard. I was working on peace, wasn't I? I was working on patience. I was working on love. I just wasn't getting it. And so someone would come and I would present myself as someone who bears these fruits, and I would shove my fruit in their mouth, and they'd be like, and I'm like, you chew that fruit. And I'd take their jaw and I'd move it up and down. I'm like, you chew. And I'd hold their mouth shut and plug their nose. I'm like, now you swallow that fruit. That's honestly the type of person I was. I'm like, you're gonna eat my fruit and you're gonna like my fruit because this is the best I can do. How many people do you think asked me for the recipe to my fruit? Wow, I need that seed because that was good. You're just dripping with love and gentleness and all those good qualities. We bear the fruits of the Spirit. People are going to ask us for the seed. Where we got those fruits? Because you can't get it yourself. Lord knows I tried, and I failed. And I made a lot of people eat some pretty nasty fruit for being with me, didn't I? She's not even going to nod. I'm too embarrassed to say anything, aren't you? Yeah. I was trying to shove people's mouths full of this fruit stuff that they didn't want because it wasn't true. It was just polished up on the outside and it was rotten on the inside. Because I didn't know that the fruit has to come from plugging into the vine. You can't do it on your own. If you plug into Jesus, just focus on Jesus. Focus on feeding from the vine. The fruit will follow. The fruit is a result of you plugging into the vine. And that seed, when people see that fruit, they're going to come to you and say, wow, I want that. Instead of handing them a grape or whatever, you're going to say, 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living, enduring Word of God. And that living, enduring Word of God is Jesus Christ. He's the seed. The Bible, it just makes so much sense when you actually read the thing. Plug into the vine. After plugging into the vine, you start to bear fruit. When you start to bear fruit, God will take you and he will tie you to the cord, tie you to the fence. He will prune you and you'll start to bear even better fruit. And then people are going to see your fruit and they're going to say, wow, where can I get some of that? And you're going to point them back to Jesus, the source of the fruit. And that is how you make Christians. That is how you complete the Great Commission. Cannot do it on your own. Cannot do it unless you're plugged into the vine. Because all we are a bunch of withered branches producing this nasty fruit that we're trying to push over on people as something good. And it's not. This church will flourish and live forever if you learn to plug into the vine. Truly plug into the vine. Get out of the world. For years, I thought that I could plug into the vine and plug into the world. And you know what happened? I didn't produce the fruit. Now that I'm starting to plug into the vine, I'm starting to see changes, like what Don said, changes that you can't explain, but they're there. And what a cool song. Thank you, God. Plug into the vine. Let the Father prune you. And the fruits that you bear will be so attractive. People cannot wait to be around you. And you can point them back to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to plug into the vine, to know what that means and to know how important it is that when we don't plug into you, that we are withering and we are dying, and the things that we're producing are turning people away from you and not turning them towards you. Help us to see our fruits, to look at our lives and to look at the fruits that we're bearing and to see, hey, are these fruits of the Spirit, or am I just trying to make them fruits of the Spirit? Because we know that we can't make those fruits and that they only come after plugging into you, that you give them to us. That they are a result of a life in you. Give us the courage to look at our fruits this week, Father God. And the understanding to plug into you. So that our lives may show, not our words and not what we portray, but our actual lives will show that we are in you. James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you, let it be shown through his life. You have shown us that, Father God. As we give you our lives and plug into you, prune us, bend us, lift us up and wash us. Show us how to produce the fruit that we need so that we can further your kingdom and so that the joy of Jesus Christ may be in us, and that our joy may be complete. Amen.